So Philippians chapter 4 this morning. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudeus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which laboured with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow labourers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but as I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And let's go and go to the Lord in prayer now, shall we? Father, we're thankful for another day in the house of the Lord. We're thankful, Lord, for the power of the Word of God, that we can open it up and you can speak to us. Lord, we pray that you would do that this morning. How we pray this morning that the hand of our God might rest upon us. I pray that you would take these feeble lips, Father, and that you would use them for your glory as only you can. We look to you now. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may remember from our Philippians series with Pastor Simeon last year that Paul opens the epistle with reference to the gospel, and it doesn't take him long before he gets down to talking about unity and he starts talking about the mind. Have a look there in chapter 1 and verse 27 and see his first reference there really to the mind. Only let your conversation or your manner of life be as it becometh the gospel. And then he says that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Then have a look in verse 2 and verse 5, one of my favourite verses. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Even though he knew he was on equal level with God, he was God, he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And Paul exhorts us to have the same mindset here that Christ had. I found it interesting in chapter 2 and verse 20, talking about Timothy, that he says there, I want to send Timothy shortly unto you, for I have no man like-minded. Sometimes we think that the Apostle Paul was just surrounded by hordes of people who were just willing there to help him out and be like-minded. And yet he said, I have no man like-minded. And we can learn from this that like-mindedness and godly thinkers are rare. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, the majority of people living on planet Earth today are thinking unlike God. And then in chapter 3 and verse 10, we have those wonderful verses with a lot of punch there, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And we had some very stirring preaching on those a while back. And then we get down to verse 15 and he says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, thinking the same way the Apostle Paul was thinking, that we might know him. And so we get down to chapter 4 where we are today, and he opens the chapter in verse 1. My brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, so stand fast in the Lord. And then he gives some instruction to two women in the church who are having some friction. Okay? Eudeus and Syntyche. You can say those how you like to. That they be of the same mind in the Lord. And if you remember from our series, the answer, the solution to the friction that was between these two ladies in the church was that they would be like-minded. If both of them were to come and align their thinking with God and with the Bible, they would solve the problem. And so to stand fast in the Lord and have the same thinking, this applies to us as a church today, does it not? And I was thinking about the example of us all being together as a church, the Sunday morning crowd here in a boat. Just for a minute, think about, some of us saw on WhatsApp our pastors on the Sea of Galilee in that big boat. And I was thinking about a big rowboat with all of our church in the rowboat, all organised evenly, you know, down the sides with an oar each, rowing towards a common goal, the golden shore, maybe with the emblem of the cross. And think about that with rowing. Anyone who's done kind of canoeing or rowing or anything knows that the people in that boat have to be thinking the same thing. It's no use one thinking, well, row backwards because I want to go over there, and the other on this side is thinking, well, I really want to go over there. It's not going to work. And so we all need to be like-minded. We all need to be working towards the same goal. And how many times have we seen it can be seen in the local church where it only takes one or two, maybe on this side of the boat, who change their thinking about that common goal. And so they look around and they see the waves, they see the storms in life, they think about the dear children and our families in this boat together, the whole Sunday morning crowd here in this boat, and they think, well, maybe it would be good if we just went over to this island over here, and we just stopped over there on the island, and we just had a bit of a break for a while. And so their thinking changes. So what do? They stop rowing. Because they're thinking, now we want to go over here. And you can see where that's going to lead a person, is it eventually, if they keep thinking that, and they don't come back to thinking of the common goal of the golden shore and the cross, that eventually one day another boat may just happen to pass by alongside slowly, bit of a cruise ship, and there's some old friends on there maybe that we know. We're going over to the island. This storm's ridiculous. We're out of here. Oh, hang on a minute. I'm grabbing my gear. Won't take me long. And they jump ship. And so how you think, how we think as a local church is very, very important. And I'm concerned when I see believers with wrong thinking. Where is it going to lead them? Many times I have found myself straying with wrong thinking, pursuing wrong goals. Times of depression, times of discouragement, when my thinking was wrong and it starts leading me in the wrong direction. How do we get back onto the narrow way? Well, we need a change of our heart, but we need a change of our thinking. If we're going to stay unified as a church, we need to be thinking the same thoughts as a church. We need to be of the same mind in the Lord. And this means thinking right, not only as a church as a whole, but as individuals. It's impossible to be thinking wrong during the week, to not be united with the local church during the week, and then come to church on a Sunday and we're all suddenly united. It doesn't work like that. We need to be thinking as individuals as well as a church. The question is then, How do we think right thoughts? And this verse 8, where the Apostle Paul gives a list of good things to think about and then encourages us to think on these things, this is a wonderful filter for our thinking. And there is a reason why the Apostle Paul keeps hammering on this area of the mind, and that is because it is so important what you are thinking. So in verse 8 here, he says, finally, he says another, it's the second finally that he has said. Aren't you thankful for preachers who have a lot of content in their messages and they keep saying finally? And then he says this word here, brethren, and my interpretation of that is sit up and listen. I'm going to tell you something important. Maybe that's not there, but he's definitely trying to get their attention and he is speaking from the heart here. He begins the chapter, brethren, my dearly beloved for and longed for, my joy and crown in the Lord. Note here, this message is mainly to believers. Okay, this is written here to believers, my brethren. But if you're not a Christian today, then you need to understand that the God of this world has a blindfold on your mind spiritually. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto you. Please, come and see us before you leave here if you are not a Christian and you do not understand the simplicity of the gospel message and what Christ has done for you. But this brings us to 3 points from these two verses, from verse 8 and 9. First of all, I want to look at the importance of right thinking. Then I want to have a look at the understanding of right thinking. It's important that we understand what right thinking is. And then lastly, the blessing of right thinking. So first of all, the importance of right thinking. Thoughts determine what we do. Very simple statement, but thoughts determine what we do. Unless you are completely out of your mind, you will end up doing what you think about. Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And something that has interested me about God's design of the human brain as the control centre of the human body is that if you allow the mind to think a certain type of thoughts for long enough, you will eventually result in the body working out and doing those thoughts. How many things start from a simple thought? Sometimes we have a pastor and deacons meeting here. And maybe Brother Derek might, for example, put forward a thought and say, Pastor Simeon, I've just been thinking, it's just a thought, but have we thought about this? And maybe Pastor Dan goes, oh, I agree with that thought. Yes, that's a great thought. And Pastor Simeon says, you know, I've been thinking and praying about this, and maybe there's something here. Maybe the Lord would have us go in a direction. Now, at that point, nothing has been actually done. Nothing has been accomplished in the church. It's just thoughts. But it's amazing where some of those thoughts lead us as a church. If leadership feels the Lord is leading that way, we may then put an idea forward to the church. It may get everyone involved in a vote. It may mean large sums of money taking out the church savings account. It may mean a lot of people putting some effort and energy into a project, whether it be a letterboxing outreach, whether it be a special day, an event, even the Israel trip, things like this. And it starts with thoughts. See, just Derek just put forward the thought maybe, and it starts the ball rolling with thoughts. Another just everyday example is painting the side of my house. For about five and a half years now, I've been thinking I need to paint the side of my house. But I wasn't very, very serious about it really because I had so many other things on the list. And maybe 2 or 3 months ago, I started thinking more seriously about painting the side of my house. But still, the side of the house wasn't painted. But after 5.5 years, we were a lot closer to getting the side of the house painted. And so because of thoughts, one day there were some actions that happened. And I went down to my little shed and I started poking around in there to see if I had enough paint left over to paint the side of the house. So action has started coming out of my thinking. But the side of the house was still not painted. Right? And so I approached my dad, who he suggested in the first place, and he said, son, I think we can paint the side of that house. And then Pastor preached saying you need to finish off the things that you'd started. And years ago, my mother-in-law said, you need to finish off the things you've started. And I thought, I need to finish off the things I've started. So I went to Bunnings and I bought some more paint. And the day came when my dad and I got out there with the ladder, and we had several helpers in the family, and away we went. We painted the whole side of the house. Finished. Now, I haven't since had thoughts about getting the paint organised and painting the side of the house, because it's already done, okay? But see, the importance is this: an everyday, a silly example, but everyday example of where thoughts take you. What you concentrate on, you will become. Someone has said that thoughts are the seeds that grow the deeds. Here's a quote by F.B. Meyer on this passage. If you allow a matter to revolve in your mind, if you turn it over and over and consider it from every aspect and dwell upon it, it becomes comparatively easy to do it. It is as though the thoughts lay down the tram lines upon which presently the car of action proceeds. The thoughts lay the wires which presently convey the message. No doubt many of you have again experienced this, that when you have come to some great crisis in your life, you have passed through it with perfect ease because you had so often rehearsed the matter. When you come to act, it was as though you had passed through the experience before. Your thought life had so entirely prepared you for it. It is of the utmost importance, therefore, that you take care what you think, because thought is the precursor, herald, and forerunner of action. Where do your thoughts go when you have spare time? This is a great test of our thinking. When you're sitting in the waiting room and it's nice and quiet and you have plenty of time on your hands, where do your thoughts go? When you pull the mobile phone, what do you look up? When you pull the mobile phone out, where do your thoughts go? When you're driving in the car and you have plenty of time, what entertains your thoughts? And so thoughts determine what we do. You show me a man who is doing some hobby. He's doing a car restoration project, let's say, for example. You show me a man who is thinking about a car restoration project, and I'll show you a man who at some point is working towards that, and he's talking about that. Because why? Because he's thinking about it, and there's many examples we could give. Thoughts determine what you do. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Or as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So thoughts determine what you do, but thoughts are also powerful for good and for evil. And if thoughts can be displayed right, and if thoughts can be presented nicely to you, it will affect you sooner or later. I was thinking about in Exodus 32 there, you have Aaron and you have the golden calf. And it blows your mind sometimes to think that the children of Israel have been taken out of slavery, out of Egypt, out of all this idol worship and everything. And then Aaron, in the midst of this, he has some wrong thinking. Enough that he puts forward to the children of Israel, why don't you all bring your gold together, break off these earrings, and we'll make a calf, a golden calf. And he influenced all of those people to go ahead and do that. And what a disaster that was. Thoughts are powerful for good and for evil. I want you this morning just to think. Just use your imagination for a minute. It's hard for some of you maybe. But use your imagination this morning. And I want you to think in your mind's eye, just think in your mind's eye of a beautiful, ripe, juicy, yellow lemon. Think about that in your mind for a minute. And in your mind's eye, not in reality, but in your mind's eye, I want you to hold up that yellow, juicy lemon. It's just beautiful. It's just how a lemon should be. It's round. The finish is somewhere between low sheen and semi-gloss. It's like a satin colour. And it has this cute little stem sticking out the top with just two little iconic green leaves on there. And I want you to take that lemon in your mind's eye and lift it up. If your right hand's in your right hand, if you're left-handed in your left hand, and hold it up in the air and give it the biggest squeeze you've ever given a juicy yellow lemon. And let the seeds in your mind's eye, the seeds squirt out across and hit some of the other people in the auditorium, and that juice just runs down your hand. And imagine then that you are to take that lemon and you are to hold it up and give it the biggest lick and the biggest kiss that you've ever given, a juicy, ripe lemon. Now, if I can get some of you to think how you thought about a disgusting piece of fruit like a lemon, do not think that the devil can get us distracted and get us thinking about some thoughts that look really good and ruin our lives. There is power in what you think about, and that's what the Apostle Paul here is talking about. The devil wants to rule us. Now, these thoughts can appear harmless. They are not necessarily immoral thoughts. They are not necessarily angry or bitter thoughts, but they can lead us in the wrong direction. So thoughts are powerful for good and thoughts are powerful for evil. Because as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's what he becomes. Now thoughts, if you leave them unchecked, will naturally head you in the wrong direction. Have a look at Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Let's turn in our Bibles. Let's stay as much with the word of God as we can here, Seth. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, right in the beginning. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Notice this, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Then go across to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3. Apostle Paul here is talking to the Ephesians and saying what some of them and reminding them what they were like before they were saved. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3. Among whom we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. So our default position when it comes to thinking is wrong thinking. This morning, if you don't do anything to correct your thinking, you will think wrong. If you don't do anything to correct your thinking, you will think wrong. And you say this, you may say this morning, well, Seth, this is pretty basic stuff. This is just simple stuff. I've got it. All you have to do is think right. In light of church unity, in light of the years that this church has been here, and the focus on church unity, I thought it was interesting seeing our pastor's aspect on this. Pastor Simeon, he started praying months ago that the Lord would give us unity while he was away. Then Pastor Dan started praying that the Lord would give us unity. And yes, then Brother Paul, I heard him too. He was speaking, Lord, keep the church unified while we're away. I said to my wife, what tricks does the devil have up his sleeve while our pastor's away? But we need to be unified, do we not? We all need to be on the same page, like-minded. If you think this is pretty basic stuff, this is simple. You just have to think right and that's it. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. One of the biggest fears I have in the Christian life is that my thinking would change and I would let it change for a long time and follow through with that, and it would lead me from the Lord. And so we need to understand the importance of right thinking. Secondly, we need to understand right thinking. So let's go ahead and have a look at these eight different words here that the Apostle Paul is encouraging us to think about. So in verse 8 here, we basically have six adjectives. We have six adjectives at the beginning there, which are just, they are true, honest, just, pure, and lovely, and of good report, Six adjectives, and then we have these two nouns after it in these two if phrases. If there be any virtue is one, and if there be any praise. And this list reminds me a lot of Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. So let's go ahead and have a look at these. Some of these words are very much as they come across to us. Some of them, the English has changed a little bit and they have a bit of a different definition than we use the word today. But let's start out with the first one, true. True means actual or unconcealed or manifest. It means true to fact. All right, in contrast to that which is false, we need to consider things that are true. So would this be a true statement? According to this, if a thought came into my mind, when I get a new house, my life will be complete. Is that a true statement? No, it's not a true statement. Because the Bible says in Colossians 2:10, and ye are complete in him. A correct thought would be to think, I am complete in Christ. And the more you think about how you are complete in Christ, the less you'll be worried about a new house and you'll save yourself a lot of money. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 20, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding, okay, that's our knowledge about truth, having our understanding darkened. Why? Because of the blindness of their heart. And the second word means honest. And this is a little bit different to the way we use the word honest, because this means noble, it means honourable, it means worthy of respect. As in Titus 2:2 is the only other place, I believe, where this word is used. The aged men be sober, grave. It means nobly serious. We need to reject what is dishonourable and receive into our minds only what is worthy of God. So what is honest? Next word is just. This means what is right. It means pretty much what we think it means really. Just means what is right, what is righteous, or what is innocent. Remember that what this whole list here, but what is right and this whole list is always defined by God and his character, okay? We're not lining this list up with what we see out in the world. Whatsoever things are honest out in the world, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, and by that standard, no, that standard changes, right? Our standard is the character and the reality of God. It's defined by God and his character. Then we have the word pure. Pure means what we think it means. It means to be holy and not tainted. Now, we may say, oh, the movie wasn't too bad. But we may put the question mark after that, really. Was it pure? Was it holy, defined by God's standard and his character? Now, I think if you could take two words, it's me anyway, if you could take two words out of this list and simplify this whole filter here for our thinking, I would take the word true and the word pure. That's been a help to me. And again, different people may think differently. But to me, I'll have a thought coming to think, hang on a sec, let's just check this. Let's just check this, these thoughts here. Are they true? And if it gets past there, is it pure? The next word is lovely, which has changed a bit from what we take it to mean, in a sense. Lovely means friendly toward or acceptable. Okay? Think on what... So a lovely Christian will think thoughts of friendliness towards another person. We need to think on that which produces and keeps harmony rather than on that which causes strife. And the last one there, good report, means admirable, well spoken of, or reputable. It means the delicacy which guards the lips. It means sweet spoken. Vine says it is uttering words of good omen or good gesture or token. It means fair sounding. Psalm 19:14 says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." So there's those six adjectives the Apostle Paul gives us as a filter for our thinking. And then he has these two if statements that kind of summarise those other six statements. Are you with me? Okay, so we have whatsoever things are true, what things are honest, what things are just, what things are pure, what things are lovely, what things are good report. Then he has these two summary statements. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So virtue means excellence or of any particular moral excellence. It means goodness. And praise means pretty much what the word suggests. It means something which is praiseworthy, whatever is worthy of praise in God's sight. Now, I think it's interesting that all these words pretty much describe the Bible. Whatsoever things are true, will you get greater truth than this? Whatsoever things are honest, will you get anything more honest than this? Of good report, virtue, praiseworthy. Okay, so here is the Apostle Paul asking us to and exhorting us to think on these things, which is the Word of God. So in light of church unity, in light of Christian growth in this book, the Apostle Paul asks the Philippians, actually he commands the Philippians here, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And in one sense, we can spend a whole lot of time on that list there. But the whole emphasis of the Apostle Paul is that we would think on these things. And to think means to reckon. It means to calculate. It means to consider. You know, this means pausing sometimes in our rushed thought life to actually consider what we're thinking. And, more importantly, to consider what sort of things are just, pure, lovely, honest, of good report, and so on. Now, we don't try to keep this list of right thinking to be sanctified. I'm not suggesting even for a minute that if you will just think on this list, that you're going to be sanctified, that you're going to be holy, that you're going to be righteous. You give it a go. You won't be able to do this in and of your own strength. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. And this really, I think, brings us to the matter of surrender. Are we willing to let God change our thinking? Mark 12, verse 30, is one of those verses that I have found in the Christian life, depending on where I'm at, can really affect me. Turn over there in your Bibles to Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. You know these verses. It's restated in several of the Gospels. It's a command from our Lord. And depending where we are in our walk with the Lord, and depending where our heart attitude is, depending where our surrender is, depends on how we often take these verses. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And if you and I are going to change the direction, if the direction we are going and the direction we are thinking needs change, it's going to take surrender to the Holy Spirit for Him to work in our hearts. Because the heart is the seat of the emotions and our thinking comes from our heart. Our heart helps to control our thinking. Turn over to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. These are common verses. And I have found in the Christian life, when it comes to this matter of surrender, that there's two camps. If you're not walking with the Lord and you're not surrendered, then these verses can really, really grate on you. I can remember sitting in the back of a church with some major trials going on in my life as a rebel teenager, deliberately not wearing my tie, which was a big thing, deliberately not singing the hymns, and my dad said to me words to this effect, "Son," with tears in his eyes, he said, "Son, would you please leave the service? Your heart is not here." I thank the Lord for a father who was concerned about where my heart was. But I have also found in the Christian life, and I've noticed it when we have hard preaching in the church here on this matter of surrender, that is often those who will embrace this whole matter of surrender and who understand the importance and the key factor this is in the Christian life to the Lord's blessing is the matter of surrender. Here we are in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Look at it carefully. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And he goes on, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed," how? "By the renewing of your mind." And then he follows with a statement which is the blessing of obedience, "that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And understand from the word of God that those of us who do not come to a point of surrender never enter into the joys and the blessings of the obedience. And so it's always going, these verses are always going to grate on us. "Oh, there's something I've got to give up. There's something the Lord wants from me." But the joy, this is key to the Christian life, is to surrender, and then the Lord is able to bless us. And so the Apostle Paul here is encouraging us about our thinking. If your heart is willing, your thinking can be corrected, and you can be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Ephesians 4:23. To think on these things means to surrender to God. To not only block bad thoughts, but also to consider good thoughts instead. Does someone know how long I've gone? I didn't even record this. I've got no idea. Anyone have any idea what time we normally finish? I've got 20 minutes. I've got 20 minutes. Oh, that's a long time. So I want you to notice something about this passage here. I think this is very important and we can miss this. We take this verse and we think, what sort of things are true, honest stuff? We've got this list here, we've got the filter in our minds. And so there is a tendency to think that all I have to do in the Christian life is I just have to block out the bad thoughts. Just stop them from coming in. When they come at me, I just stop them and we're good to go. We can get on with the Christian life. But that's not what the Apostle Paul said. He doesn't say anywhere in here, and I'm not saying there aren't times we need to do that. Okay? "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." Okay? Is the principle there of keeping out and getting rid of those bad thoughts, rejecting them. But he doesn't say that here. This is all in a very positive light. He says, think on these things. And to date, I've noticed in my Christian life that when I've had some serious struggles, and I had a period a couple of months ago, maybe most people wouldn't have seen it from the outside, but I was struggling. I had a trial of discouragement. I was weary. I was tired just before I was voted on as a deacon again, and I was sorting through it. And my pastor knew I was struggling there, and I was worn out. I was discouraged. And my good wife encouraged me with Jim Berg. She said, "I think you need to track your thinking." And so I began to track my thinking, and I began to think about what I was thinking about. And it was leading me in the wrong direction. And I was looking in the wrong direction. And I was, because I was thinking in the wrong direction. And so I started doing the wrong things. And a lot of this was just, a lot of this, maybe you wouldn't even notice it from the outside. But what I've noticed about the Word of God is it wasn't the rejecting of these discouraging thoughts that gave me the victory. Are you with me tonight? It was when I actually understood this and I started going over some verses in my mind and started thinking correctly according to the Word of God. And I started running some of my thoughts by this test. Is this true? No, it is not true. Well, I need to start thinking on what is true. And I started thinking Scripture, and I started going over Scripture, and I started thinking that, you know, godliness with contentment is great gain, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. And I began to say, on my morning walk sometimes I would pray, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. What is acceptable in thy sight? My Lord, he is my Lord. He is my Lord. He is my Redeemer. I've been saved. Do you see the power of the Word of God? And I could have spent the rest of my life trying to block out these negative thoughts and trying to hold them back. And there is a place to be on guard for negative thoughts. But there is power in the Word of God being our thoughts. F.B. Meyer again, he says, but supposing we were left merely with this constant watching and antagonizing of evil thoughts, life would be almost intolerable. Remember, therefore, that not the negative only, but the positive, not destruction only, but construction is the law of the Christian life. Not the grave of Christ, but the resurrection power is our hope. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's just reinforce this a little bit here for a minute. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21 to 32. We have this principle here of putting off and then putting on. 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Yes, but deliberately think on these things too. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man. Drop down to verse 28 and have a look at someone who has what someone is to do who has a thinking problem with stealing. Let him that stole steal no more. There's the putting off. But rather, let him get a decent job and let him work hard and let him labour. Why? That he may have to give to him that needeth. Do you see the principle here? Have a look at verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So we stop saying the wrong thing, but he says, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Okay? So speak words that are edifying. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger be put away, verse 32, and be ye kind. So let's remember that this list is not going to do us any good unless we think on these things. It may seem easier to just battle off the wrong thoughts and not do anything else, but we need to be putting on, we need to be thinking about these things. Can I encourage you to so structure your life and so structure your thinking that the Word of God is going in? We live in a world where there is so much going in. There is just, it's just available everywhere. What is going in? Now, we can battle and we can try and stop that, but that's not where the power of the Word of God is. The power on the Word of God is thinking on these things. And Pastor Simeon has been a huge help to me and a huge influence in the way he thinks When he is driving in his car, he often has scripture going. I do the same thing. I had to learn sometimes in life to turn off maybe the Good Christian CD, to turn off some update I can get on my phone or some news or something that may still be wholesome, and just put on some pure scripture and have Alexander Scorby just reading some scripture and what it does to your mind. Does this not sound like preaching we've heard just recently where Pastor Simeon was talking about one of the greatest things he has known, one of the greatest keys in the Christian life as far as growth goes, is letting the water of the word just wash over you. Do you remember him saying that just recently from here? And so this is so important that we take the word of God and we actually spend time in it. Think about it. A 15-minute read through a couple of chapters and a quick prayer and mention the missionaries and then go off for the next 15 to 20 hours of our own time is not thinking on these things. And it takes effort. It means to stop. It means to calculate. It means to consider the word of God. You know, it shouldn't be considered just weird or random to stop at some time throughout the day and just pick up the word of God and just read it and just let it wash. I speak to myself. It shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be odd to think, what's he doing sitting down in the lounge room in the middle of the day reading his Bible? It shouldn't be like that, brethren. We should be letting the word of God just work in our lives. We should be thinking on these things. Very quickly in verse 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do and the God of peace shall be with you. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on here. I have lots of notes on this. But I believe that there is a body of truth which we have learned as believers, which we have heard, which we have received and which we have seen, and we are to stand fast in that truth. Now, whether the Apostle Paul is talking about these four things as things that he taught personally, or whether it's just things he's talking about the Word of God, it still applies. Because this is inspired scripture. Verse 8 is the word of God. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so think about those things which we have learned, either from the Apostle Paul or from the word of God, those things which are grounded in truth, those things which we have been taught by godly people. Yes, there is a time to be as the Bereans and see if these things be so. I'm not talking about merely clinging to tradition. I'm talking about holding fast that which we have. And there seems to be a fashion among mainstream Christianity to throw off everything they've learned, everything they've received, everything they've heard, everything they've seen that's godly. How do people end up here? By wrong thinking. At the moment, in our pastor's office, someone has gone to a retirement home and given us some photos. And there is a framed photograph on this stage of about 70 kids that used to go to Sunday school here. And I had a quick look at the photo and I think maybe I saw about 50 of those kids that were here in this church on this stage grow up. I was 7 when I left the church here, went to another church, but I kept coming back from Mount Gambier and I saw these kids grow up. And out of those 50 kids that I think grew up in this church, there are 3 of them here today. And the rest of them, as far as I know, have disaster stories. Divorce, all kinds of things. What went wrong? At some point, their thinking changed. From what they were being taught, you go out to the shed now and get some of the tapes, the cassettes that are out there, and listen to some of the preaching that came from behind this very pulpit. Sound teaching. The things that we have learned and heard and seen. And yet somewhere on the lines, they stopped thinking about those things. Do you see the importance here is that you and I need to constantly be going over these things and reminding ourselves of these things. The minute we leave that and we leave these things and we go and just focus on other things or spend all our time holding off the enemy, we will start to stray because we need to be thinking on these things. Right, lastly, the blessing of obedience, the end of verse 9 there. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Do we want God to be with us? Then we've got to keep thinking on these things. In recent days, we had an emphasis on the preaching about the hand of God upon us. Remember from our Ezra series, God's hand upon God's man, God's hand upon God's work, and God's hand upon God's people. Do we really want God's hand upon us as a church? Do we want to stay in the boat together? Do we want to be like-minded? Then we need to keep thinking on the Word of God. Whatsoever is true, honest, just, pure, lovely, if there's any virtue, if there's any praise, think on these things. This morning, do you need to change your thinking? Which direction are you headed in? Do you need to make some serious changes? Do you need to go home and put a sticky note on the fridge and on the back of your bedroom door and on the mirror and start changing your thinking? Or do you need to take even more serious steps than that? Maybe you need to speak to one of your pastors. May I encourage you again this morning, if you are not saved and you do not know Christ as your personal Saviour, that you speak to someone here today, that you can have your spiritual understanding enlightened, your spiritual understanding opened, not something airy-fairy, but the truths of the Word of God and the wonderful gospel message. May God help us as a church and as individuals to think on these things. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for the Word of God. We're thankful for how it speaks to our hearts, Father. We pray that you would help us as a church and as individuals to be like-minded, as you would have us to be like-minded, Father. And that we would go away from this place, Father, challenged in our thinking, Father, to track our thinking, to think about what we're letting go through our minds, Father. And most importantly, that we would spend time thinking and dwelling on the wonderful truths of the Word of God. We ask this in the Lord Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.